Will you turn to Matthew 7, please? Good morning to you. I should have said, good morning to you. Will you turn to Matthew 7, please? Don't judge. That's what this is about. Jesus, in these verses, has in mind what we do when another follower of Jesus does something wrong. How do we act when they do wrong? Maybe they hurt me, or they sinned against me in some way. Maybe they did not do it to me at all, but still they're doing something a follower of Jesus has no business doing. Jesus probably also has in mind here how we act when non-believers do things, But he mentions brother or sister in verses 3 and 4 and 5. So that's the main context. How do we respond when another believer sins? So this is chapter 7, verse 1. The Sermon on the Mount takes up three chapters of Matthew, chapter 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5, after the introduction, is about our relationships with people. And Matthew 6, about our relationship with God, our Father. And Matthew 7 is back to relationships with people. So Matthew 6 at the center teaches about how we relate directly to our Father. And at the center of Matthew 6 is the Lord's Prayer. That is the diamond. That prayer is the diamond at the very center of the sermon. A short prayer where we ask the Father to do in us what Jesus teaches us to do. Now to our text. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. Matthew 7:1. Everybody is going to be judged according to the Bible, and Jesus is not changing that. As we keep reading, it gets clearer that Jesus means something closer to condemn. Do not condemn people, that way you will not be condemned. The fifth beatitude said, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. So here Jesus comes back to that. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Woe to those who are not merciful, for they won't receive mercy. Don't condemn so that you won't be condemned. Woe to those who condemn, for they will be condemned. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And all of a sudden, to me, this feels too close to home. What goes on in my heart when I see people living in ways that I am sure are wrong? And what kind of indignation do I feed in my mind? I feel it and I feed it. What kind of frustration and attack do I nurture against them? Would I like to be condemned by God in that way? Certainly not. That I don't want. Do not condemn so that you will not be condemned. You will be judged as you judge others. Chapter 7, verse 2. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. In the same way you measure it out to others, it will be measured to you. So there is a judge, my brothers and sisters. We know that. Jesus knew that. The people listening to Jesus knew that. God is the judge. And the judge is watching me handle the sins of others to decide how he will deal with my sins. And folks, that's not good for me. I don't know what my best side is, but this isn't it. Years ago, I read a journal article on the Gospels written by some obscure Scandinavian New Testament scholar, and there are some fine Scandinavian New Testament scholars, and this writer said, the kingdom of God is above all a kingdom of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the center of the kingdom. God forgives us and we forgive each other. That is the main feature of God's kingdom. He was very convinced, and I don't know if that is right, but it is pretty close to the center. I am so happy that the poor in spirit inherit the kingdom. The spiritually desperate inherit the kingdom. The spiritual losers inherit the kingdom. But inheriting the kingdom also means that I will show that same kindness to others that God is showing to me. And that is difficult. But Jesus is clear. How I judge, I will be judged. how I measure it out, it will be measured to me. And I think about my angry, self-righteous energy against those who offend my sense of right. And you think about your angry, self-righteous energy against those who cross your sense of what's right. And then we must imagine God having just the same attitude toward us as what would we like him to nurture dark energy against us in that way. That would be very bad. Very bad. And maybe you're kinder than I am, so this is not a deal for you, and good for you. But for some of us, this is trouble. Jesus said, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. In the way you measure it out to others, it will be measured to you. So we do have to evaluate others. We cannot just say, everyone does what they want. I will ignore it all. I will just be good to everyone. Jesus does not want that. Just a few verses later, Jesus will say, watch out for false prophets. And then Jesus will tell us what to look for, to tell if a prophet is a false prophet, actually a fierce wolf. So we need to look at each other and evaluate. In Matthew 18, Jesus will tell us that if a brother or sister sins, we should go speak to them about it. So we don't turn a blind eye to stuff. That's not what the Lord is after. But we always look at others as those who ourselves have received a great, undeserved kindness from God. That's the core of the Beatitudes in the whole sermon. God has been unbelievably gracious. The poor in spirit get the kingdom of heaven and they will inherit the earth. And then we treat one another with that same kind of generosity. The plank and the sawdust, verses 3 to 5, 7, 3 to 5, the plank and the sawdust. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from the other person's eye. So Jesus paints a wonderful and ridiculous picture for us. Someone has a plank, a board, a big board stuck in their eye, and they want to help someone else get a bit of sawdust out of their eye. So in this story, the sawdust in our brother or sister's eye is sin, some kind of failure that they need help with. Excuse me. And the plank in my eye is a critical condemning attitude, that angry, self-righteous energy and indignation. We are no good to our brother or sister that way. See, if you got a piece of sawdust in your eye, you would probably find a mirror and get real close to the mirror, and you would try to get the piece of sawdust out of your eye yourself. In the ancient world, they had mirrors, but they were not clear enough that you could get a little piece of wood out of your eye. So you would trust your eye to your family member or your friend and ask your family member or your friend to try carefully to take this speck of wood out of your eye. And if your family member was full of angry indignation against you specifically because you had a speck of wood in your eye, would you want that person trying to take the sawdust out? No. No. See, that angry, self-righteous indignation is the plank, my brothers and sisters. The sin we see may be as bad as we think it is. Often it is not, but sometimes it is in the other person's eye. Let's say it is a real problem. And then think, though, my brothers and sisters, how would I like someone to take sawdust out of my eye? I would like them to be very gentle. I would like them to be careful not to hurt me. Jesus calls the one with a plank a hypocrite, an actor. So we pretend we want to help. We pretend we want to take trouble out of their eyes. But mostly we want them to suffer for their wrongs. We hope to bring some righteously painful consequences, and I want them to see how righteous I am and that I'm a little better. So this example of Jesus, the story about the plank, stresses the huge problem of the one with the plank. Suppose I have a critical spirit and angry, condemning words towards someone because of what they are doing wrong. Okay, Jesus says to me, you think they have sin? Ed, you think they're doing something wrong? Their sin is sawdust, Ed, and your sin is a plank. And your critical, condemning spirit is a far greater problem than what you think you see in them. Your judging spirit is such a big problem, you cannot see anything clearly yourself. That's what this illustration is saying. And the thing is, the person with the sawdust in their eye really does need help with the sawdust. The people who are sinning do need help. We do them no favor by ignoring this. In our society, it is not acceptable to tell other people about their faults, but people with sawdust in their eye do need help. And when I am sinning and stuck in it, I would like God to kindly and gently help me out of my sin. That's what I would like. I would like God to kindly and gently help me out of my sin. And He has. So if a brother or sister is living in a way that offends us, let us think about someone else taking sawdust out of our eye. And let's think about how we would like God to approach us. Because God is watching us, says Jesus, and He's going to approach others the way we approach us, the way we approach others on these things. So, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. And this plank is the opposite of righteousness and the opposite of mercy. Pearls and pigs, chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. I have read different commentaries on Matthew, and all of them were quite lost about this. They had suggestions, and they are different from each other. But verse 5 ends, and then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother or sister's eye. And verse 6 begins, do not give dogs what is holy, and so on. So the holy thing, the pearl, is your help getting the sawdust out of your brother or sister's eye. And Jesus is using picturesque language here to describe people who have no interest in the kingdom of God. They also have sawdust in their eyes, but Jesus is saying, don't bother. If you try to take the sawdust of their eye, they will trample on your help and they will turn on you. They are not interested in your help and they will clobber you and they will injure you. In Matthew 18, Jesus said that if a brother or sister will not turn from their sin, treat them like they are not part of the church. So don't try to help a person with the sawdust in their eye, when the person is not interested in seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If there's not that fundamental interest, there's no point taking sawdust out of the eye. Leave it alone. So, here's a summary of what's happened today, what we've read here. Jesus gives us two reasons to be kind, to be gentle instead of harsh with brothers and sisters, to help them rather than to condemn them, to be kind toward them in their sin instead of angry at them because of their sin. First reason, the way we treat others in their sin is how God will treat us in our sin. He says this quite a few different ways. Let's take it as true. The way we treat others in their sin is how God will treat us in our sin. Second, he says that until we get rid of our hard, angry kind of judging, we are no good to them at all. Our hard, angry kind of judging is much worse, as far as Jesus is concerned, than what we think is wrong with them. Good news from God for the poor in spirit. theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Good news from God for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Good news from God for the merciful, they will receive mercy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I need your help here. I am very poor in spirit. Father, I want to be merciful. I want your kind of righteousness. I want to be pure in heart. Father, we want to be rid of the plank. We all want to be rid of the plank. We want to be as kind to one another as you have been with us. We fall far short. But Father, our Lord's very next words are, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the narrow gate will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. For everyone who knocks, the gate is opened. So Father, we want to be merciful. We want your kind of righteousness. Remove the plank. Give us hunger for you. We want to be pure in heart. And Father, sometimes we get this right. Sometimes we are merciful. Sometimes the plank is gone, and sometimes we do this well. And for all of those we thank you, may it grow among us. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may our Lord and God the Father encourage our hearts and strengthen us in every good deed and word. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.